Traveling the world to find peace is a fruitless task. Peace is found in the silence of our own heart and bathtub. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. Traveling the world to find peace is a fruitless task. Peace is found in the silence of our own heart and bathtub. Yes, you smile at the word bathtub, but it's a very significant word. I have met dozens, hundreds, thousands perhaps of people who have traveled the world looking for peace. They love to go to see the gurus in India. They love to climb the Himalayan mountains. They love to go into the Andes. They love to go anywhere that is away from home. And they want to go there to learn from the guru, learn from the great teacher, learn from the great mountain, get that vibration of the great mountain, and have all these wonderful things. And hey, that's cool. That's real cool. I am also, Ellen, I'm also amused at people who have to have a seagoing voyage to have a seminar to make it exciting enough for them to go on the seminar. To make it exciting for them to go on the information tour into finding your inner self. Ellen would very much like to have a yacht to travel on and take people on a voyage and have a seminar be given during that time. And she feels this would be so wonderful. And of course it would be. And this is what many groups do. But the people are not going for the talk. They're going for the trip. They're going for a chance to get away from home. They're going for a chance to escape themselves and escape their world and escape everything that they're doing. Now, traveling the world is to find peace is a fruitless task. Peace is found in the silence of our own bathtub. It's found in the silence of our own heart. As I walk these paths here at the campus, I think to myself, the dirt under my feet is no different than it is anywhere else. That's the dirt of the planet Earth. The vibrations here are no different than they are anywhere else. They are my vibrations. The attitude here is no different than anywhere else. It's my attitude. Now, if I go to some guru or some teacher or some place, or people come here looking for peace, and they don't bring peace with them, they're not going to find it. If people come here looking for an attitude which is going to help them be lifted up, they'll find it. They'll be lifted up. And when they go home, they'll be let down. Because it has to be our own attitude. It has to be our own experience. Now, people constantly say, Dr. Byerly, I want to take you and show you New York. And I say, hey, or my sister in Delaware, she says, Herb, there are so many good things to see here in Delaware. It's a super place. And I say, yes, I know it is. And then I go to Florida. Wow, we got the place to show you the Everglades and the alligators. And I say, that's nice. And they take me to Italy, to Switzerland, to Germany, to China, to Taiwan, and to the Philippines, and to the Australia and Africa and South America, every place, and Canada, you know. And they got to show me their special red badges of courage. That is, their special places that are supposed to be monumental, special places supposed to be great. And hey, I'm honored that they want to do this. But I would be more honored if they took the time to sit and talk with me. I was in New York, in Brooklyn, and I was sharing with a young man, and he, Claude is his name, fine young man, brilliant, super kid, somewhere in his 30s perhaps. And he asked me questions about absolute and about philosophy. And we were talking deeply and wonderfully. And he said, boy, I'm getting so much out of this. I feel so good. This is, you know, really touching me. And then they take me to a restaurant that is absolutely not a conversational restaurant. The music by Russians is loud and vibrant and dynamic and beautiful. Hey, cool. If I were going there for the music and for the dancing and singing, I would have sure had it. And I thought we were going to go there so he could talk with me about philosophy. Well, we had a good dinner. We had a good experience there. The people were wonderful. The dancing was beautiful. Everything was fantastic. But not one word could be said from me across the table, and it was a narrow table. And I was sitting right across from him. I couldn't say one word to him about philosophy. And then later we got in the car, and he drove me home. And it's raining cats and dogs out, thunder coming down, you know, again, a violent, wonderful, dynamic day. I'm not saying it's bad in any way. It's just a super day. But no time for talk. Because by the time we got into some talk, it was we were there back at my hotel. And so I went in, and I thought to myself, yep, so be it. My sister said, hurry, I want to take you around to meet my friends who have counseling needs. Super. She says, do you mind? I said, that's what I'm here for. And so we went to visit all these different people, and we had good talks. And they felt very good when I was done because they felt, you know, dynamic. Now, whether they felt good after I left and they were on their own, that's another story. But I gave them the idea, the concept. And it was wonderful. So then she said, well, Herb, I want to show you this place and that place because it's so nice. And I said, hey, that's cool. What people are we going to be with? She said, oh, just you and me. I said, well, that's cool too. I said, that's nice too. Or the kids, her grandkids and stuff, they're always there. And that's good. But you see, we could have talked in her home more. We could have sat in her study, where her husband was sitting and not listening to us, you know. And we could have shared a few things. Like she says, he reads some of my books and puts them down and doesn't mark them up so nobody knows he's read them, you know. Because he's Catholic and he's of another philosophy. And but he reads everything under the sun. He goes to the library and picks up scads of books and just reads them by the score because he's a reader. And so forth. But you see, Marie said to me, Herb, why don't you want to go and see these places? I said, well, places will always be there. It's the people that I'm interested in. Introduce me to all your friends, whatever their problems may be, whatever their needs may be, and I'm happy as a lark. Introduce me to the community and the sites. Well, that's nice. That's nice. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm living on planet Earth to be myself and have fun. And being myself and having fun is not being a geography student, you know? And when I was in high school, I loved geography. Oh, I loved geography. In fact, I still love geography. But when I'm alone, because I walk in my own silent place. When I'm at people's homes, their doors are double, triple, multiple locked. And for me to go out sometime in the morning is quite a challenge. And then their neighbor downstairs locks the outer door that I have just gone out and I'm going to come in again, thinkingly, and I can't get in because it's locked as the upper doors are locked. And so I have to ring a bell or something. And they say, well, what are you going out for? Well, I'm taking my morning walk to be in my own vibrations, you know, not in the home where I am. I bless the home. Every home I go to, I surround it with my pure white light of love and I bless it. But the thing is, you see, the peace I find within myself. When I'm taking a shower, I feel so at peace. The warm water sort of drooling down your skin and just making yourself feel good. I was at the dentist and they cleaned my teeth and checked them over and said they were all perfect. And then they gave me a fluoride cup to have on my teeth for a minute. And this is supposed to do something for your teeth. And then the technician said, well, now, I'm going to put this in your mouth. Now, tilt your head forward just a little bit. And if you drool, drool onto the napkin, the bib that you have. Because this is fluoride and you're not supposed to swallow it and all that sort of stuff. It's just for your teeth. So I tilted my head forward, and I didn't drool, but I thought, you know, how lovely. How lovely to realize that people drool, and that when you have all that strange stuff in your teeth and not in your mouth, you don't want to swallow it or anything, you know. And so she was just a very loving lady, very competent and a good lady. But you see, we want to be ourselves. We want to do what makes us happy. We want to have our silence in the bathtub. Why do you think you sing so well in the bathroom? Because you're in a contained room. Why do you think they have people give talks and sing in a box, so to speak, you know, at the studio? It's enclosed. Because then they can get the resonances of the voice, and they can get all the things that are sounding so beautiful. And so think about it. When you go into your bathroom, you might put a name on the door, say, prayer room. And you go into your prayer room, or meditation room, or introspection room, or whatever you want to call it, and you go in there. Of course, everybody's going to knock on the door and want to say, what you doing? But if it's a bathroom, nobody asks any questions, you know. They have a general idea because they use it that way too. But mentally, you can call it your prayer room. Mentally, it is your time. But that is the place where you become one as yourself. And that is so tremendously important, to become one as yourself, to listen to yourself, to realize that there's more in you than you've ever realized. There's more genius in you than you've ever shared or thought about. Yes, be yourself. There is something that you can do that better than any other. Listen to the inward voice and bravely obey that. We'll be hearing that again soon. And then trust yourself. You know more than you think you do. And then we have a third one here, which it says, the secret of health for both mind and body is not to mourn for the past, worry about the future, or anticipate problems, but to live in the present moment wisely and earnestly. If we follow those comments, we'll have a happy life. If we feel that we have to impress others, we'll never have a happy life. Can you see why the only peace on earth that you will ever know is the peace inside yourself? The only happiness on earth is the happiness inside yourself. The only joy, now here's the word, the only abundance that you'll ever know is the abundance within yourself. When you give a little trinket to a poor person, or let's say a poverty person, and they're wise, they'll say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you look at that and you say, that was nothing. So then you say, I want to give things to the poor. Well, no, you're giving them to yourself. You're giving them because you're saying thank you to yourself that you have this to share. And you're not giving it to them because they need it. So go ahead, give the princess in the tower a golden needle so she can put it in her machine. Do you think it'll work any better than a stainless steel needle or than some other needle? No. You see, it's not the value of the individual thing, it's the utility of it. Now, how are you placing the utility in your life? Traveling the world to find peace is a fruitless task. Peace is found in the silence of your own heart and your own bathtub. So let's begin to look in our quiet time and find that peace which passes all understanding, the peace that makes us feel very good, the peace that makes us realize, hey, this is a good world we're living in, and we are very good, each one of us, right now and forevermore. Have a lovely day, and know that you are in my thought, in my blessings, in my prayers, and in my love. I love you. I love you.
I love you.